I think today is December 12th. And I think we have about 20 days left to go to end 2023. How do you think you have spent your 2023?
I think I've spent it in a very like in a very authentic way, I would say. As someone who's been like a people pleaser and not, I'm gonna get a little deep or like just be myself here. So as someone who's been like a people pleaser and all that, I think I spent 2023 in a fairly like authentic way, in the sense that I try to not do anything for anybody or please or to try to please anybody or do things just to try to avoid unpleasantness. So I started the year off with a solo trip, and it's one of my favorite memories from the year because it was my first ever solo trip. So and that was in Jan, and looking back, I think this whole year with respect to relationships, the work front, the people in my life, everything has been it's just flown very naturally. It's I've been my most authentic self, and it's been a pretty good year. Yeah, it's been a nice year. I would just call it good. It's been, yeah, very good, honestly.
See, I feel everybody has not bad habits, but certain traits that they have which they would like to forego. A very simple example might be procrastination. I think a lot of people might suffer from procrastination and they might want to be more productive or stuff like that. You spoke about people pleasing. I think everybody has that. I definitely have that, no question about that. But what made you take that step or really narrow down on that and say that, you know, fuck this or this is enough. Like, I need to stop doing it because I have not done it in the sense, even though I know that people pleasing is like a thing that I suffer with as well. And sometimes to my own detriment, where I, you know, to say I light myself on fire to keep somebody else warm. So in that case, like, what made you kind of take the call that this is not going to happen anymore?
I think in my case, I'm still not where I want to be. But one of the reasons it is easier is having friends around who tell you, like, especially when you're feeling like, no, I need, like, this happened even recently. There was a kind of a tiff with another person, and I went to a friend and I said, listen, I want to not have this tiff. I want to go make things okay. And so having a friend, I think, really helped. She said, no, don't do this just to please somebody, because, like, you know, at the peak of when you feel like you need to give in and go please someone or make things okay, having someone to say, to give you a very rational perspective to it, because people pleasing comes from a very, like, emotional point of view, where you're like, you're scared and you don't want someone to go through something, and there's a lot of fear. So I think having someone to rationalize it for you really helped me. So the people around me did help. And the fact that, I mean, there are these quotes that say, you know what, nobody really cares. And that's true. Like, I mean, for example, you like do a funny dance move in a mall, okay, in front of people, and like people will look at you, what, maybe for like 10 seconds, maximum like 3 minutes, and then they go about their day. You probably put a smile on their face. So I don't think this idea that we truly only live once, I mean this might sound cliche, but time just honestly just feels like it's flying. So these kind of thoughts help me not, like, you know, get into that trap of people pleasing. So I think having someone to rationalize it for you, or if you can do it yourself, for yourself, really helps. And the fact that you need to go to bed having fulfilled at least some of your desires, and no person or people should take that away from you. So don't have to please anybody. I think these two things I would say has helped me.
I really feel like Oprah is on the show, but theek hai. Okay, just to push on this a little bit, related to this, I think, which is, I think you mentioned twice earlier that this year you have lived authentically, like you have been your authentic self. What does that mean?
It means that I think for a really long time, I had this ideal self in mind. Again, that's where like this whole I should be a nice person, a good person was there. So I didn't really act on any kind of negative emotions that came to me. Was kind of in denial about a lot of things. So I think by raw and authentic self, I meant that whatever came naturally to me, certain thoughts, certain wants and needs, and like the thing to just travel, or like, you know, a lot of things that like her, like letting things be and not trying to like push myself to be an ideal self, and just be, not like, don't try to live up to any standards, or like don't do things for other people, just do it for yourself, like just authentic. You know, like, yeah, like not necessarily don't care, but don't like restrict yourself because you have your ideal self in mind all the time. I think that's what I meant.
Is it fair to say that you have swallowed the pill of I don't give a fuck about anybody? If there was a pill called I don't give a fuck about anybody, do you think that you have swallowed that?
No, not really.
Let me put it another way, right? If there was a pill tomorrow, if you could go to a drugstore and like, let's say, you know, GlaxoSmithKline produced a new pill tomorrow, which was like, you know, if you take it one in the morning and twice in the afternoon, you will not give a fuck about anybody. Would you take it? Like, I mean.
I think I would take it to an extent where it wasn't really like harming the people around me, what I would say. Not to an extent where I was being like, I don't give a fuck to the point that I'm selfish or like doing only the things I want. Because at the end of the day, I do live with my family and I do have certain people that I would want to do things for. So I think the I don't care about anybody would not, I don't know how much of that would make sense. Maybe half the pill I would take just to be in balance. Yeah. 250 mg
is a lot actually, but
for like 500 mg tablet.
Okay. We spoke about 2023. I want to understand, what are you most looking forward for in 2024?
To be honest, I'm looking forward to working more because 2023 I didn't I'm like a freelancer type, so I didn't get the projects that I wish to, at least not that I wish to, but the number of days that I worked were relatively lesser than the number of days I worked before 2023. So I think I'm looking forward to work in 2024 because it's one of the things that really like keeps me sane. I'm happy to be busier than I was in 2023. So I'm looking forward to work.
I think that is true for almost everyone. In general, I feel like people think that if they have like a lot of free time, they'll, you know, do this and do that. And
yeah,
this.
Like a devil's mind, like a free mind. What is that? Oh, an idle mind is a devil's workshop. Yeah. So.
Like, you know, when you're really busy, you think, oh, fuck, like if I had extra time, I would watch this documentary or I would watch this Netflix series and I would be so much smarter. I would read that book. But when you actually have free time, all you do is like scroll YouTube shorts or, you know, Instagram reels.
That's true.
But on a broader point, like what I'm getting to is like you know where you spoke, where you mentioned that you would like to work more.
Yeah.
And the year previous to this, you had worked probably more than what you did this year. And you're extremely young as well, right? Like, I feel like that youth energy also is like, in the sense that we only get a finite amount of youth energy, right? You know what I'm saying?
That's
Like,
true.
I love it when you said that's true. But anyways, what I'm getting to is like, so how do you deal with that? By that I mean, what is going on in your head when you're sitting at your home on a Tuesday afternoon, 2 p.m. and you're just like, what the fuck, man? Like, what's happening? So can you walk me through that, please?
Today's a Tuesday, and
Oh fuck, I don't know.
funnily, today, instead of, at least if I sat at home, I'd feel less guilty. I decided to go to the mall, and then I was like, "What am I doing on Tuesday evening in a mall?" And that's when, so your question was like it hit like a truck. But to be honest, I'm not in an overconfident way, but my ability to emotionally regulate myself has become better over the years. And I do have my bad days, and that is, I would say, 45 to 50% of the days where it's difficult to talk to myself and get myself out of this need to be productive, and say on a weekday in the morning, you've made your bed, you've hit the gym, but you have you've done the basic that you have to do, and then there's still so much time left. Like, what else? So, what's helped me is that I know that if I were to get into this productivity trap and put myself through the pain of doing something because everyone else is busy on a weekday, it wouldn't sit well with me because I've tried. I even took up a master's course recently, which I couldn't. I realized that's not me, and I can't do it. I don't sit like see myself sitting on a in front of a desk on a weekday. I don't see myself do it. So that was a lesson that I learned this year. So I'm happy to be free on a Tuesday afternoon, as much as it might not really be good for me, good in the sense that I may not be making money when I'm sitting idle at home at Tuesday at 2 p.m., but I'm definitely happy. I'm at peace that I don't have to hit these deadlines in order to get that promotion. I don't feel like that. I'm learning other things. I'm not going to lie, there are days I'm not learning those things, but I'm also doing things that, I spend time at home with my parents, I go out with my friends, but when I work, I work. And when I want to make money, I thankfully make money. So I feel like as long as it's not being harmful to my growth in any way, it's okay. It's okay to be at home on Tuesday at 2. That, I mean, I'm just saying that repeatedly because it's like symbolic and funny, but that's what I mean. And thankfully, I think we're also in a generation where we have a lot of freelancers around us who have similar stories and who are coping with similar problems. So it makes it a bit easier for me, that I would say, yeah.
So I want to switch gears and so we'll jump around a little bit. I won't follow structure per se. I'm curious about so let's draw some parallels about I'm going to push you on this a little bit, but let's try to do some par let's try to get I'm trying to understand the parallels of a corporate job. You know, you mentioned about, you know, you can't sit in front of a desk on a weekday and all that. So I'm trying to understand, what is the parallel of a corporate job in terms of, let's say, acting? Let me flesh that out a little bit. By that I mean, see, when you're doing a corporate job, right? Or let's say when you're doing a regular job, let's say, so I'm a software engineer. So let's say the way I would phrase it is, you know, to become a software engineer, you'll have to, let's say, have some skills of coding. And then, you know, you get your first internship, And then, you know, you become SD1, which is software development one. And then you have SD2 after some experience. And then you have SD3. And then depending on where you want to go, you'll have, let's say, you can become an engineering manager, or let's say you can be a CTO. And then if you start your company, let's say you can be CEO, etc. So that's like a level of promotion, or, you know, like a trajectory, you can say, the way I'm like, people know exactly, like, you know, what's supposed to be done. And, you know, this is the ladder, right? You know, that's like the corporate slave ladder that you have to climb. Is there an equivalent to that in the field, in, let's say, in acting, right? Like, do you see a parallel to that? Or is there stuff like that that you can maybe trace?
To be very honest, no, because there could be someone who has, I think it also depends at the time we are in. Back in the days, maybe like 20 years ago, someone from somewhere probably got, I'm talking with respect to acting alone, like an actor perspective alone, got spotted by a director and got called for a film, and that film probably did really, really well at the box office. And then this actor or actress went on to obviously gain a lot of fame because of the film, and so they got seen by a lot of people in and outside the industry. And then getting projects or being known so that they could get more work was easier for them, right? Now, this still happens. But it's also that there are a lot more people who want to act these days. So there is a certain ladder, as in not a very structured one like the one you mentioned, or not a very like, this is how it is, this is what you do, this SD1, SD2, after SD2, this. It may not be as hierarchical or as structured, but there are definitely certain ways in which people try to get up through certain steps. Like maybe if they're starting off, they might want to get into a course that is film related, and then when they're doing this course, they might do certain short films. And as they do short films along with their classmates, they get certain contacts, and then they go on to graduate, and with the contacts they build, they start to make even more content. And now social media is one of the ways in which people try to get seen and known for acting. So there isn't a specific ladder, but there are certain, I could probably say, templates that people can maybe follow that won't necessarily guarantee anything, but it is a sort of template that might get you somewhere.
I think you're right. Like when you were talking about when you were giving me this example, I thought of Deepika Padukone. Actually, I think Deepika came from nowhere, right? I mean, when she was casted in, I think, Om Shanti Om. I mean, I think she had done like one Kannada movie, if I'm not wrong, and some like one music video which nobody had known. And then all of a sudden she's starring next to Shah Rukh. And you know, after that,
I think Deepika, if I can add, sorry, I'm cutting you off. That happened to Deepika, but I think even Deepika Padukone did probably have a fairly more thing. There have been even more like luckier people, I would say, or whatever it is. I think she's also done like a lot of ads, and you know, she had to move to Mumbai, which a lot of people these days do. That, I mean, I'm definitely saying yes, the stars were in her favor, but I mean, it does make sense. Your example does make sense, but yeah, I think the stars were in her favor. Yes, you could say that.
I mean, if anybody's stars were aligned, her stars were aligned.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
I mean, getting, and if I'm not wrong, I don't even think that she was screen tested for the role before she got the role. That's how lucky she was. You know, people who are swallowing the Kool-Aid of hard work and dedication should maybe should start maybe, you know, rethinking their philosophy. But anyways, just since you're on that, I'm just trying to also think of another example. If I can think of somebody who's been even luckier, right? Like, Alia Bhatt is so lucky, man. Like, come to think of it, like, think about Alia Bhatt, right? Like, first movie is like directed by Karan Johar, man. Like, come on, like, how do you like who can? I mean, how do you get luckier than that? Like, I mean, so I think yeah, Alia Bhatt takes it even more than Deepika does. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what to say. Like, stars were not aligned. Like, stars, I think she made the stars. I mean, like, you know, like she was, like, it was that level of alignment there. Anyways, yeah. I want to ask you about, so we spoke about the lucky Alia and Deepika. According to me, you don't have to sympathize on the judgment, but what I'm curious about is, like, in terms of, like, other people who may not be that lucky, in terms of, like, Instagram, you know, people who are on social media who want to become actors,
right?
Or people who move to Mumbai or move to Bangalore or move to whichever city that they want to pursue their dreams. So how do you look at competition? Like, I mean, when you're auditioning or you're smiling, but when you're giving an audition or for whatever reason, I mean, I don't know, man, you're scrolling through your phone and you see somebody else who's an actress, what goes on in your mind? Like, I mean, how do you think about it?
I honestly think that I think if they're lucky, then I tend to get a little okay, before I start, it's a little difficult for me to feel any kind of, like, oh, wow, they have that and I don't. I'm not saying I'm, like, I don't know. I think I've learned to feel very secure in myself. Not even learned. I've just been like that all my life. Thankfully, that's not changed with all these, with adulting and everything around the world. I'm still a very secure person, so it's difficult to feel like, shit, like, I definitely feel like, oh, shit, what am I doing? Like, we need to get back up and do this, yeah. But when I see, like, competitors, I feel like, okay, what gaps are they filling, which I'm not? Or, like, what is making them get something that I might not be getting? And sometimes the answer is the truth. They might be a better dancer, or they might have better looks, they might be well groomed. And sometimes the answer is that the stars are just aligned for them. So, because especially because of the industry that we are in, and where, as much as I hate to say this, intellect and all that is very important, but we are not writing exams every day that get us to the top, right? So there are other things that are at play here, like being well groomed, having good skills like dancing, singing, content creation, and all those other things. Obviously they require intellect as well, no doubt about that, but a lot of stars being aligned and luck and, you know, a lot of things that cannot be rationalized, there's no science behind, do come into play. So I've realized that there's really no point about feeling bad about someone getting, like, if something came to me and I did badly and then someone else got it, then maybe I would think, where did I go wrong? But if people are just doing well, they're doing well, man. Like, what can you possibly do? Sit and feel jealous, bad? Like, where is that getting you? Especially because I don't want to sound like cocky or like, okay, I didn't mean to say cocky, sorry. I don't want to sound like I think too much of myself, or I'm too full of myself, or I'm way too secure. It's not that. I've just been blessed to not let these things affect me too easily. So yes, there are days when I feel bad, but mostly I don't. I'm just like, the time will come for me, and if it doesn't, I think I will have other things that I will do that will make me happy. And if I end up failing as an actor, then I don't have an answer to that. I think that I will learn to deal with when it happens or if it happens. So, yeah, that answer. Sorry, it was such a long, deep answer, but yeah.
You don't have to say sorry, please.
Okay.
When you spoke about how, you know, you're pretty secure with yourself, you know, I thought, man, she must have had a very happy / secure childhood.
Ryan, you know what, I get these thoughts as well because I did my undergrad in psychology, so every time someone has like you know, I see certain characteristics in someone, even I'm like rooting it back to their childhood. So yeah, I just wanted to share that.
I mean, in terms of like security, by security, I mean like just being enough, like as a person.
That's true.
I think I agree with you. Like, even I think I might root it in their childhood, but I also think I am no psychology expert here, but I also think like it can be like worked on as you grow older.
Definitely.
At least I have tried that, and I feel like I've made a lot of progress, inshallah. Right. We'll see. Anyways, so at the risk of like this turning into like a therapy session, but I still want to pursue this, which is, you know, you spoke about getting to the top, right? Like you used it in a phrase. I can't recall the exact phrasing, but what I wanted to maybe drill down is like, what do you think will take you to the top?
There are a lot of things that take actors to the top, but
why are you laughing?
I mean, like, you hear things and there's no equation, there's no formula. That's the thing with this thing. But the question was interesting because it asked, because you asked what would take me to the top. And this is going to be like a very subjective answer. It's going to be just my take on this. I just believe that acting, right, is just, it's us doing a certain, like, I'm assuming to by top you meant with respect to the acting career, right?
Where else do you want to go on top?
Okay, fair enough. Sorry. So I think like, yeah, so what I was saying is that acting as a career is us being human beings, but in front of a camera, right? So I think there are certain skills that you need to have, at least try to develop, which we as humans do as a form of self-expression, like dancing, for example. I dance, like when I'm happy, I dance. And so I want to be able to do that well as an actor, because that only then it means I'm able to express myself and be able to convey a certain thing in front of a camera. If I'm going to be doing that as a way to express myself when I'm alone in a room, then if my character is similar to me, or if it is any character that dances as a form of self-expression, then I should be able to dance. So similarly, singing, dancing, and all these forms of self-expression, I want to be able to be decent at, and obviously the act itself, which is acting, be a decent actor who's able to convey something and make someone feel something. So I think these are things that will get me to the top. Yeah.
So that is part one, right? Like, I mean, so that is one part of the equation of like, one is you either go on top.
Yeah.
And, the other flip side of that is, which you also alluded to at the end, you spoke about how, you know, I'll see if I fail at acting, or, you know,
yeah.
I don't know if I'll make it.
Go ahead and ask me whatever it is.
No, I definitely am going to ask it, but I'm just trying to, I'm thinking of how to phrase this. In the sense that, you will actively pursue this for the next couple of years, if not more. And I'm going to put it very harshly, I think, at this point, which is some of your most productive years of your life. And obviously at your most, when you're at your most youthful, and at the end of the road, and at the end of the mountain, or you know, at the tip of the mountain, you realize that what you are searching for is already taken by you know Alia Bhatt or some other or somebody else, and you know that prize is not there. So, how, first of all, like, do you even think about, you know, some people don't, right? Like sometimes when I have certain problems in my life, I just pretend like it's not there. Like I, that's my MO. Like I'll just act as if nothing's going on, and I won't think about it. So, do you even think about all this, or does this scare you, or does it motivate you, or in general, like, how do you even approach this, even if you do?
I have thought about it a lot, to be honest. No, definitely not to a point where it was like taking a toll on me. I at one point it did, but so I came to the conclusion that I have chosen a field that will have that the chances of making it might be bleak, might be difficult, whatever. But so and yes, these are my this is my the years that I can be most productive. So when I can be home on Tuesday at 2 p.m. doing nothing, I can definitely be like probably investing the little money that I have in stocks or be, you know, having a side gig or doing something like that. So I do take up courses here and there. Not too often to the point where I'm way too busy, no, but I do take up courses where I feel like I will not regret it. Where I feel like when I don't have any acting projects for a while, this will make me some amount of money to sustain me. Whether it'll keep me secure till I'm a certain age, whether it'll help if acting fails, all that, no, I haven't thought about. But whether it'll just being secure enough for the next maybe 2 years or a year or 2 to 3 years, that I do think of and that I do work towards, touch wood. So yeah, it is a scary thought, and I feel like at some point, whatever, how many years from now. So I also have this thing again, which science cannot really prove, or like you can't really rationalize this or make sense out of it. There's just this belief in me that I will make it. Yeah, I just have it. If that belief is broken, then God forbid it shouldn't. But if it is, then maybe I should just swallow the pill and, you know, okay, I have wasted this amount of time believing something that may not necessarily come true, which is okay. But the fact that I do not let myself get too free and I keep myself busy in some way or the other, I don't get to a point where I'm wasting my life, right? That I don't do, and thankfully I don't do that. So yes, to answer your question, will it be difficult to accept the fact few years from now if I don't get make it? Yes, it will be difficult. Will I regret it to a point where it becomes way too like serious or like way too difficult for me to move past it? No, because I did not waste all my energy and time just, you know, believing or like hoping. I did do things that will probably help me sustain for a while. So yeah, I think the answer is maybe, I don't know, 50-50, or I don't know if the answer made sense, but
Yeah, so I'm sorry to make this so depressing, but
no, not at all.
generally every episode is as depressing as this, so
No, these are
yeah.
nice questions, to be very honest.
So I'm just going to really convert this into a therapy session right now. I want to let's go a little I wanted to understand, or let's try to understand. Let's talk about the drive a little bit, right? Like in the sense that, what is it about acting that really fascinates you? Is it the money? Is it the fame? Is it the, I think respect also, obviously, I think so. Is it the admiration? I think that admiration comes in a fame, I think. But like, what do you think like really makes you go like, fuck man, I want this.
I'm not gonna lie, the money is good, the fame, yeah, it is nice when someone comes to you and says, can I take a picture with you? Yes, very nice. Although I haven't experienced it quite a fair share, I have experienced, it's nice, not gonna lie. But I asked myself this, my family asked me this question when I started off, and I realized that when I'm acting, or like when I'm even like posing for a picture, or like doing a certain action, or like being in front of the camera, I'm not thinking about whether I switched off the bathroom light, or like I'm not thinking about anything else. I'm in the moment and I'm happy, and I think like that's all, that's the answer. I'm in the moment when I'm doing it, I want to be really good at it, and I'm happy doing it, and when I do it well, I'm really happy. I think that's what it is about it. And obviously, yes, it's one of the things, you get to be a human but in front of a camera. That's pretty cool, no? So I like that as well. You get to do what you're doing in daily life, but in a better way and in a more,
you're extremely beautiful, no question about that. So I'm wondering, how does that manifest in day-to-day life? Like one thing you spoke about was like people come for selfies and you know.
Oh, by the way, when I said that, in all of my career, which has been like 3 years, it's only happened 4 times maybe. So
No, but even beyond that, I mean, selfie is just one thing, right? But I'm saying like the aspect of beauty. I mean, that whether you act in movies or you don't act, like when people see you, I don't know if I'm getting too like pretty privileged or anything, but in general, is there any effect of that? Like, do you notice, is it that visible for you? Like where when I ask this question, you're suddenly like, yeah, man, that does happen, or you just have to think about it, or it's not that obvious the way I'm stating it.
Are you asking me if having a certain set of features is making a difference in my life? You know, is that what you
I think? I think you should ask the question, actually. I think you phrase it much better.
Okay. I think I would say no, because how do I put this? I don't remember the last time someone, okay, apart from the fact that since you mentioned what if not for being an actor, so let's just go in that context itself. If I wasn't an actor, or if I wasn't wanting to become an actor, I don't remember the last time someone came up to me not knowing that I'm an actor and said, you're very pretty. Or when my friends, you know, are having a bad day and then they look at my face just because it's pretty, they don't say, wow, my day is better. No, right? I mean, it's nice to have a certain set of features that are socially very acceptable and very glorified and stuff. Yes, it's making me money. But when it comes to a certain set of people in your life, right? What's inside, obviously, just I don't want to sound like some like a motivational speaker, but it is so true. Like I have not liked certain people who might fit into certain social standards of beauty, but who might be acting like very like, you know, not arrogant or certain, have a certain negative characteristics that doesn't sit well with me. If a so-called pretty person is behaving like that, they're not pretty to me anymore, or I don't feel like drawn to them anymore, or I don't want to go up to them and have a connection with them anymore. So, and if I have certain advantages because of that, I think not. Maybe certain more likes on Instagram or all that. On a deeper, more personal level, not really. And if the and if you're gonna ask me next if that likes on Instagram or all that attention is affecting the personal level thing, it might be. It might be, not gonna lie. In the sense that it might maybe boost my confidence a bit more on some days or all that. But that's all it does. That's just all it does. For the days that you're actually hitting rock bottom, none of this really matters, right?
In trying to prepare for this, I was looking for some other podcast that you might have done, and I came across one Tamil video which you did with your family, where you are showing.
Wow, you've really done your homework, Ryan. That's nice.
Hear the full story here. Okay. So the problem, I mean, I saw the video. And you're obviously, you and your brother, if I'm not wrong, are holding slates. And you're, you know, there's some nice fun thing going on. The problem is I don't understand Tamil. Uh-huh. And subtitles don't work. so whatever little I could understand. What I wanted to get through was, in terms of your family, in terms of your mom and dad, who do you think has had like more impact on you, or like who you feel that you might want to make it for them? Oh my God. No, I want to take that back. Let's take that back.
Yes, take it back.
Let's take that back, please. I'm going a little overboard here. Let's take that back. But I want to stick to the first part. Who do you think has had like more, like a significant impact on you, and in what ways do you think?
Okay. I can't choose. I just cannot. So whether you want to take this as a thematic,
huh? I was just gonna say, you cannot say both. I was just gonna say you cannot say both.
Okay, this is not even because I don't want to hurt one or anything, or because I would feel bad for saying this. No, it's because in each situation, they've genuinely balanced me. Like, there are days when I'll be like I would, I'd probably be stuck in some kind of issue maybe. And then I would think, okay, Appa's gonna like handle me well today. And my dad wouldn't, and I'll go to my mom and she'll her reaction will be unexpected, and she will just take it in her stride to make that whole situation just like that problem will just fly within that one night for me. And there are days when my mom would be not ready to help, and my dad would just come and just make everything. If I had to choose who I would want to make it big for, okay, then maybe I could give you an answer. Maybe for this answer alone, maybe my dad, and not because, not who I want, would want to make it big for, not like that. I feel like I would want to, it still doesn't make sense to me. I really can't choose because there are things that I would want to fulfill for my mom as well. So, Ryan, the truth is that they've both made like a huge impact on me, but in very, very different ways. Like the time and age that my mom grew up in and her surroundings and stuff. So her entire world is us and like, you know, family and all that. And maybe if she was in a different day and age, and she, her priorities would have been different, her life would have been different and all that. But the fact that we are her world has really like grounded us, anchored us, and like it's changed my life. So, and for my dad, for the way he grew up and his personality and who he is today, he's a certain way. So I really can't choose who made a bigger impact on me. I really can't. Yeah.
Let me ask a related question, maybe then. Who are you more similar to? In the sense that, what kind of traits? Let me maybe. So, the way I would maybe say this is, so I feel I'm more similar to my mom rather than my dad, in the sense that my mom is much calmer, I feel, in the sense that my dad has a temper. My dad had a temper, and my mom does not have. My mom is pretty calm, and in general, even though I get stressed out and all that, but I don't have a temper. Like, it's very rare that I will, have an outburst or anything of that sort. And as you can see, I'm pretty slow and pretty in control. I don't know, but so in those aspects, like personality traits wise, I feel it's mostly come from a mother. Do you have that, or do you even this one, do you want to split that equally, like, you know?
No, for me, it's my mom. I'm more like my mom, in the sense that, like you said, you're more calmer, right? My mom and I are very similar in social settings. Like, we take our time to become social, especially in a new gathering. I would say I'm closer to her. I'm not exactly like her. I'm a little more open to conversations and like starting conversations and stuff. But I'm more like her. I like to take my time with people. At my core, I'm a lot like her. That's definitely changing because of my exposure and having to deal with certain things and be a certain way because of certain things and work and not like growing up and going out there. But I'm definitely similar to my mom with a lot of characteristics. Yes. With the way we think and stuff. Did you want me to elaborate or something?
No, not at all. Not at all. What are you finding most difficult about adulting? First of all, can you maybe tell us what adulting is like? I mean, adulting
is like if I knew, I would tell you. But you know what the truth is? For me, right now, at this time in my life, it's just having to live with. At least for other people, they'll go out there, like out to a different country, work. So they'll have to become responsible. But me, because I've chosen to be in a city where, okay, work is also here, but my parents are also here. My parents wouldn't be okay with me shifting to a different apartment in the same city. So I live with them. So for me right now, adulting is just learning to be responsible while everything is being taken care of. Yeah, that's how I would put it.
That's a good position. That's a good position to be in, right? Like, I mean,
it's good. It's fun. It just involves you to be very proactive, very mindful, very conscious. Yeah.
But
because you can't get comfortable with the fact that, oh, they're there, they'll do it. Oh, my mom is there, she'll make my bed. Oh, my dad is there, I can go to him for money when I want. No. You can enjoy coming to them for like cuddles in the night, that they'll enjoy, but other things, no. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, my depressing side is winning over here, in the sense that like, do you see any cons with that, though? In the sense like, not like, you know, like some mega shit, but I'm just saying in general, like, do you feel like you're, I don't know, man, like, you know what, fuck that, like, you know, fuck that. Vela released on November 10th.
Oh, yes.
Has there been any change in your life? pre or post? When you look at pre-November 10th or post-November 10th, in your life, Or am I making too big a deal out of this, of that one particular date?
I wish I could say yes, but the answer is no. And you're not making a big deal out of it. It's a very nice question to get asked for a debut actor who had their first film release on that date. So it's a very special date. If at all, you're just doing your job, and it's nice to know that you asked me that question. So the answer to that is that no. Not much has changed. Not many opportunities or offers have followed. Professionally, I would say no. Personally, it's still November 10th. It was a very happy day because I'm just going to be my optimistic self and say that because like I was just grateful. Man, there are actors whose films don't even get released, or like you know, it gets stalled when during filming, or it's in the dubbing process, post-production. So many hurdles and all that. This had its fair share of hurdles as well. We finished shooting a year ago, so I'm honestly that date has changed my life in the sense that the film finally came out, and that's the date I saw myself for the first time on the big screen in a film. So I am. It's just a date that's a very happy memory, and also because it was Diwali, right? So it's a nice thing that my debut film or a film that I was part of, which is it got released on Diwali, which is a very special feeling. So yeah. Has life changed? No. Is it a date I look back at and smile about? Yes.
Can you walk me through that feeling? Like, what is that feeling? Let's say you woke up. Let's say today was November 10th, right? And let's say at this particular moment, it's a midnight of November 10th. I don't know if you were, I don't know if you sleep late or I don't know. Let's say you woke up on November 10th again. So what's going on in your head? What's going on in your mind?
So I think I was up at 12, and I did think like, shit, this is the day, and like in a few hours from now, it's on the big screen. So with Vela, the thing was that I was briefed, I knew what I was doing and all that. However, there was not much like space or time in that given thing for the directors to let me know a lot of other things about the story that I was a part of, but in a story way. Like I wasn't acting in those scenes. I mean, okay, so put it this way. I was acting in some scenes and I was aware of those scenes, and I did know that these scenes had an impact, but I didn't know how much of an impact it had in that film. So I was just thinking, okay, this is the day. Like, I mean, it's an exciting feeling. So I think at 12 I was like, okay, I'm gonna like vlog this whole thing so that I can remember it always. And I think we were booking tickets for a few friends and family, and I was excited because my brother's also an actor, so I've done this for him a lot. I think four or five films of his I've released, and I'm always like booking tickets for family and friends and telling them, sending the tickets, telling them be here, be there. Well, my parents are sweet enough to do that for us always. So to walk you through that feeling, very exciting feeling. Also a little nervous that what if like this film just goes unseen. Like, what if it just comes and goes? You know, there are some films where you don't know. Oh, it released, like that we last know. So I was just, I didn't want it to be one of those films. I wanted it to just at least for people to know, okay, this is out here. And thankfully, to start off with, the names involved in the film were big enough for people in Kerala to know, and a few of them in Tamil Nadu as well, and basically in the south who follow Malayalam cinema. It was, I mean, decently big enough for them to get to know that this is happening. So that feeling, it was a nice feeling because finally our aim is the big screen, no? But I love going to a theater and just being so consumed in that big screen. So the fact that I was going to be in it and be able to convey a story was very exciting. I think I could tell you it's excitement along with very little nervousness, because I knew that the nervousness part didn't take over because I didn't think that I did bad enough to let the film get a bad name, because I wasn't carrying the film. It wasn't a female-centric film based on me, right? So I wasn't that nervous. I was more excited. I was looking forward. Yeah, because also because I've done some ads, which I think my dad or someone has seen in the big screen, but I haven't. So that feeling of just seeing yourself there, nice feeling, exciting. I think excitement is the answer.
You're a Tamilian, if I'm not wrong, correct, right?
I'm a Tamilian and a Telugu. So my dad's a Telugu. Yeah, I'm a mix of Tamil and Telugu.
But you,
but I live in Chennai and I predominantly speak Tamil at home and everything.
Understood. But Beda is a Malayali movie.
Yeah.
Like, how do you source these roles? Like, in the sense, like, you're in Chennai and then I'm sure there are beautiful girls in and beautiful slash good actors in, you know, I don't want to get sexist here, but, you know, there are beautiful girls who can act as well in I'm sure in Kochi or some shit like that, or in some city like that. So, like, how does the sourcing work? And you know,
Is the question over? Sorry, did I interrupt?
I think so. I mean, I don't want to say anything more offensive. Yeah, I think I'm fucked up enough.
Ryan, you know when I said, like, when I see competitors, I just sit back and think whatever has to come will come. I had the exact same thought where I was like, how come they didn't choose someone in Kerala who fit the exact requirements? And that's when I feel like this whole stars and this just magic happens, where what is meant for you finds you. Even though I did definitely fill certain requirements that they might not have found in other people. So the character is a Tamil girl who learns to speak Malayalam for, like, this boy. And, like, you know, she has a tinge of the Malayalam effect in her and Kerala and all that. She travels there and stuff. So, yeah, to answer you, yes, the sourcing happens because they basically found me on social media. And that's why I feel like this has such a huge impact. Like, this whole, like, what has to come to you will, because especially in this field, because it could have gone to anyone in Kerala, like you said. So it came to me. And so the directors got in touch with this casting director who I was already in touch with before. I think I'd done an ad with them, or I had given them an audition for an ad before. So I think the writer, Saja sir, I should mention him here. He really felt that, I think he had a certain set of features in mind, or maybe the character he had in mind, he felt that I was apt for. Maybe if it didn't work with me, they might have found someone else who might be either less fitting or more fitting. We don't know, but thankfully it came to me.
How many pictures do you take before you post one on social media?
Some days it's 100, some days it's 2.
What's the distribution like?
See, like, if I find good see, I'm very, like, particular, like, the lighting should not make me look worse than I already look. So maybe, like, on some days I'm in the mood to actually pose because I love posing, I'll take 100, I'll be patient. And like example, yesterday I went and got my, like, a haircut after really long. So I was, and obviously I was very happy as well for other, like, I was just generally in a happy mood. So I was in the mood to, like, pose and just happily take many pictures. So I took a lot. And some days it's just 2 and I like it and I'm done. I'm not in the mood for any more. So I think it's my moods.
All right. You still didn't get that probability distribution, but theka. Okay. What is your favorite movie?
It's this Tamil movie called Anbe Sivam.
Oh, fuck. I love that movie. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Why is it? Why do you like it?
First of all, I like the title. It basically means love is God. Anba means love, and Shivam is Shiva, right? But like they to it as to that here it means God, so it means love is God. I just like how like the main protagonist played by Kamal Haasan, like you're so easy to judge this person in the beginning of the film, and like when this other protagonist, like played by Madhavan, gets to know, like travels with him throughout that film, and then there are so many events that unfold that show his life story that has led him to who he is today. I think that's my favorite part of it. The ending, man. Yeah, everything. It's a very like, it's like a mirror. It's like looking at a mirror. Like, you know how we get judgmental sometimes, and then, yeah.
Yeah, I think the ending was really powerful. Like, I think I cried at the time. I think I cried at the moment where I think when Madhavan discovers that, I think his kids' names were like, I think a dog or something like that. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
I broke at that moment, man. I was like, what the fuck? Are you serious? Like, I thought that was really heartbreaking, man. And I thought Kamal Haasan's character was so good, man. Like, in the sense
very,
that...
Very, 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 yeah.
And that too, like, for a Tamil movie, in the sense that... Not in the sense that Tamil movies are bad or anything. Like, I'm comparing it to Hindi movies where you have generally more budget, more money thrown at movies. And I think even in Hindi movies, you will not find, you know, strong characters like Kamal Haasan's. It's a very different character, I feel. And it was really amazing to see, you know, such novelty. And just to add to that, I was really, he was talking about communism and all that, man, in a fucking movie. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, so that was also very interesting where they brought the communism angle. And, like, I'm not sure if, like, in generally mainstream movies don't do that, or they try to avoid that, I think. So that was pretty, pretty, pretty amazing. Yeah, Anbe Shivam, very good movie, man. Yeah, no question. Yeah. Is there a role? Like, Kamal Haasan's is one role, right? Which I think is very, very beautiful, very nice. Is there a role like that that you think that you would want to play?
There's a Tamil film called Aruvi, and it's played. It's about a girl called Aruvi, and it's played by this actress called actor artist whatever Aditi Balan, and right now I don't have an answer as to like a big film played by a big actor. No, I can't think of anything right away. But that's Aruvi was a film that really moved me. It's about this character who ends up getting a disease in the film, and how she deals with it, what helps her through that. Once she gets AIDS, if I'm not wrong, and then how she deals with it. And I think I want to play characters like that, because like when I came out of the theater, I was in tears. So I think characters like that, yeah.
On that note, Miss Namrata, thank you so much for taking the time. It was really wonderful having you, and I wish you nothing but I hope all the stars align for you, and I hope you really have a wonderful 2024. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ryan, because I have to tell you this, when we generally do interviews, the questions aren't as deep or as like intellectually stimulating, if I can say, but this was very interesting to be a part of. A lot of reflecting had to happen, and I have to give it to you. It's because you framed your questions and you did such good homework, and I'm just so glad we did this. Thank you so much, and I wish you, I hope I get to know you more, and I wish you everything that you seek and wish for, and happy 2024 to you as well. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and thank you for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
You'll make me cry, man. Anyways, before I'll stop recording, just give me a second.
Take care.